this is your Polycast for Friday, May 29th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, more meetings but still no agreement on a special session, and race and policing in Minneapolis. DFL Governor Mark Dayton and Republican House Speaker Kurt Dowd are back at the negotiating table today, trying to reach an agreement on the unresolved pieces of the state budget. They need to agree on the agenda for a special session after Dayton's vetoes of three major budget bills. The closed-door talks yesterday focused on early childhood education, which has been a key sticking point for the education bill. Dayton said it was another worthwhile conversation. Dowd said they're also making good progress on the other bills. He said they're mindful of layoff notices required to go out Monday to nearly 10,000 state workers.
You know, we have a commitment to get the work done, and but also to get it done right. But we believe that those folks deserve some certainty in knowing what's going to happen. So we're working diligently to try to get this solved as quickly as possible.
Legislators and the governor need to finish the budget by July 1st to avoid a partial government shutdown. Dayton and Dowd said they're still aiming for a special session sometime next week. Dayton said after the meeting yesterday that it's a matter of emphasis and resources.
Basically, we all share the same goal. We want to close the achievement gap. We want to get all these young people ready to learn by the time they're 5 years old, and we want to have them even be more successful, and because our future of our state depends on this. This is what brings businesses and keeps businesses in Minnesota, is quality workforce.
The talk started again this morning at 9. A solar developer has received the final go-ahead to build up to 21 solar generation facilities across the state. Elizabeth Dunbar reports.
Geronimo Energy's Aurora project had been selected to help Xcel Energy meet peak electricity demand pending final state approval. At 100 megawatts, it will be the state's largest solar project. Geronimo Vice President Betsy Engelking says solar ended up being a good fit for Xcel.
They are looking for reliable supply over their peak days, which tend to be their hottest days of the summer. Their hottest days of the summer also tend to be their sunniest days of the summer. So it aligns very, very nicely with Xcel's peak load.
When communities in Xcel's territory are running air conditioners on high, the solar panels will help meet that extra demand for electricity. The project will be up and running by the end of 2016. Elizabeth Dunbar, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Medical marijuana will be legal in just over a month, and the legislature has taken steps this year to expand its availability to hospitals. Tim Nelson has more.
The original law authorizing health care providers to dispense the drugs didn't include hospitals, where terminally ill patients could end up. Assistant Health Commissioner Manny Munson-Regala says the legislature has cleared that up.
Patients may be admitted to hospital and may be in the registry. So for those hospitals that are willing to continue the care regimen of those patients in their hospital setting, they said the state law needs to give us the same abilities and immunities that are afforded nursing homes.
Pill and liquid forms of marijuana will be legal in Minnesota as of July 1 for those that qualify. It's initially expected to be available from dispensaries in Minneapolis and Eagan. Tim Nelson, Minnesota Public Radio News.
And finally, a story you might have missed yesterday. A detailed analysis of Minneapolis police data released by the ACLU found people arrested for non-felony offenses are far more likely to be people of color. The data, collected over nearly 3 years, shows that most of the arrests were made during traffic stops. Minneapolis police officials say the numbers don't tell the whole story. Brant Williams has more.
Minneapolis police officers made nearly 100,000 non-felony arrests between January 1st of 2012 and September 30th of 2014. African Americans and Native Americans were arrested at rates nearly 9 times higher than the rate for whites. 55-year-old Henry Jackson isn't surprised by that disparity. He's standing across the street from Target Field downtown a few hours before game time with a handful of tickets.
The customers come, I buy off the customers for as cheap as I can and then resell them.
Ticket scalping is legal in Minneapolis. However, Jackson, who is African American, has been arrested for trespassing near here 3 times since 2012. The latest arrest happened in January outside nearby Target Center as he was selling tickets for a Timberwolves game. He says he stepped inside Target Center to warm his hands when two female police officers sighted and released him.
You know, I ain't racist enough, but the white boys, they can do it all day long. But it seemed like they got us signaled out.
Yeah.
An NPR News analysis of the same data the ACLU examined found more than half of people arrested for trespassing are black. African Americans make up nearly 19% of the city's population. Jackson was convicted, ordered to pay a $50 fine, and given a state sentence of 90 days in the workhouse on the condition that he stay out of Target Center for a year, which means he can't go in there even if he's a paying customer. The ACLU report comes during a time of intense national discussion about race, police, and inequality. Minnesota ACLU Executive Director Chuck Samuelson sees several reasons for the disparities in Minneapolis arrests. He blames bias on the part of police officers and of people who call police when they see black people who look suspicious. Samuelson says the disparities also come from policies that target enforcement in neighborhoods with large minority populations. But the result is the same.
It's just shameful. We're better than this. We need to be better than this. And there's no reason why we can't be better than this.
Samuelson says the new study is much more detailed than an analysis the ACLU released last fall. That report found Minneapolis had the third highest disparity in the country between the marijuana arrest rates for African Americans and whites. However, it's hard to compare Minneapolis to other cities when looking at all non-felony arrests because ACLU studies in other cities don't contain that data. This report comes on the heels of two studies of police data released recently by the city of Minneapolis. One found that officers rarely record the race of people they detain but don't arrest, and the other found that whites were more likely to call police to report black people suspected of committing non-felony crimes, like loitering. The ACLU study found black children made up the majority of juvenile arrests, and nearly 90% of children between the ages of 4 and 12 arrested for violating curfew were children of color. The data show most people arrested were not booked and jailed. Instead, they were given citations in order to go to court.
Welcome to district court. Before your case is called, I'm going to explain your rights to you.
An informational video plays in the lobby outside the courtrooms in the Public Safety Center downtown. The instructions are also broadcast in Spanish, Hmong, and Somali. On a recent Monday morning, dozens of people sit quietly in one courtroom. There are also another dozen or so waiting outside in the lobby. Nearly all of them are people of color.
And usually they're in court for an entire morning.
Assistant Hennepin County Public Defender Melissa Fraser says only a few public defenders and one judge handle the heavy caseload. Fraser says many people choose to plead guilty to the offenses. They've already had to take time off from work or get childcare while they wait. And Fraser says fighting a charge will bring more days of waiting in courtrooms. She says pleading guilty may be a faster resolution, but it can mean problems down the road.
If you have a disorderly conduct conviction, that can create problems when you want it to rent an apartment or for jobs.
Four of the five top offenses people were arrested for were traffic-related. Driving with a revoked driver's license was the most common reason. NPR News found that nearly three-quarters of people arrested for driving with a revoked license were African American. Officer Joel Dorn gets in his squad car. Dorn, a third-generation cop, works the middle shift in the 4th Precinct on the city's north side. The ACLU analysis found the disparities for driving offenses were widest during the daytime hours. But Doran, who is white, says officers look for driving violations, not the race of the drivers. And in the early evening sunlight, Doran says it's hard to see who's behind the wheel.
I mean, yeah, take a look at the car in front of us. Can you tell if that's a male or a female? White, black, Asian, you know, native? You can't tell. I can't tell.
Officers can use in-squad computers to look up registration information on vehicles and view pictures of the car's owners. However, Doran says often the person in the picture is not the person behind the wheel. The ACLU study also visits the intersection of policing and poverty. The data show police arrested homeless people more than 6,000 times. A man playing a saxophone provides the soundtrack for a sunny spring afternoon on Nicollet Mall. Sergeant Todd Savageau, who supervises the downtown beat patrol, is out walking the mall. He stops to talk to Kevin Holt, who is holding a handwritten sign that says, "Homeless, need your help. Thank you."
What's your perception of the officers when they're down here? They treat you pretty well or not so well? And you can be honest, I got nothing to do with the air today. I think you're doing fine.
Well, I'm not trying to be negative or anything, you know, but I've been picked on by cops before, you know.
Holt, who is African-American, says he's homeless because he has a criminal record and can't find housing. Holt was arrested for trespassing in 2013 on this same block of Nicollet Mall. Savageau is white and says he understands that some black people have negative feelings about police officers because they've had bad experiences with them. He says officers are trained to look for behaviors that signal criminal activity and are often given descriptions of suspects, which include their race.
We just want to ensure that the mall is a safe place and downtown is a safe place, and the people feel that way about it as well as they walk up and down. So that's kind of what the takeaway is like I said, race doesn't matter to us. We want everyone to be able to enjoy the mall in downtown.
Minneapolis Police Chief Janae Harto says the disparities are not a secret, but she says there are factors behind the numbers. Harto says police presence is higher in areas with more violent crime, and those neighborhoods tend to have large populations of poor people of color.
And so it's not surprising to me that you're going to have lower-level offenses at a higher rate in an area where officers are to try to combat violent crime.
Harto says poverty also plays a prominent role in exposing people to the criminal justice system. She says between 2010 and 2014, one in six drivers stopped by Minneapolis police did not have a driver's license. Harto says one reason is that behind-the-wheel testing sites are all outside the city and can be hard for poor city residents to get to.
They need a driver's license to get a job. They can't get a job because they can't get there. Or they get stopped because of a traffic violation on the way to their job without a driver's license, and now they've got a misdemeanor on their arrest record.
Harto says the department is making strides towards reducing the tensions between communities of color and the police department, which persist when people feel like they're being unfairly targeted by police. She recently asked the Justice Department to audit MPD's disciplinary system and is prepared to implement the recommendations. Policy changes are also in the works. The City Council's Public Safety Committee has voted to repeal laws against spitting on the sidewalk and lurking. Supporters of the repeal say the laws are used by police to unfairly target people of color. Minnesota ACLU Executive Director Chuck Samuelson says the pressure from activists, as well as the cooperation from elected and police leaders, can all help eliminate racial disparities.
But we got to be really willing to try. And I have a sense that maybe, just maybe, that's starting.
The City Council will vote on the proposal to repeal laws against lurking and spitting next week. Brant Williams, Minnesota Public Radio News, Minneapolis.
And that's your Polycast for this Friday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. Have a great weekend, and I'll see you again here next week.